Welcome to week 3 of the Latin 2 course. We're going to begin with a prayer as usual with the Glory Be on page 118 of the Latin 1 text. As I mentioned last time, we're going to start putting a couple other prayers in the rotation pretty soon. If you want to get a head start on this, you can look in the Latin 2 book on pages 300 and 301. We're going to be doing the Tantum Ergo and the O Salutaris Hostia, which are the two prayers that are usually sung, one at the beginning and one at the end of benediction. These days, I guess we often sing them in English, but perhaps where you are, you'll be able to sing them in Latin if you go to benediction. So you might want to have a look at that to get ready for upcoming weeks. But for now, the Glory Be. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Today we're starting with lesson 29 on page 314, the passive subjunctive, the present and imperfect subjunctive passive. So let's have a look at the grammar book, numbers 267 through 274. You will not find that this is very difficult, I don't think, because as the book points out to you, the passive subjunctive is formed by changing the final personal signs exactly as was done in the indicative. So you remember you added the MST, MUS, TIS, NT endings in the present and imperfect subjunctive in the active. Here you're going to add the R, RIS, TUR, MOR, MINI, NTUR endings, keeping the vowels the same. So have a look at that. You might want to go back and compare that to the active subjunctive, but it's not really difficult. For the imperfect, of course, it's really easy. All you do is take the infinitive and you add the same endings to it. Not too hard. For you also need to review purpose clauses in your grammar book, numbers 546 and 547, and also memorize the vocabulary as usual on page 314. For exercise 324, you are to translate and explain the tenses in the subordinate clauses. I thought it's perhaps been a while since you've done purpose clauses, so let's have a look at number 1. They came into the forest lest they be routed, or seen, overcome, conquered, terrified, held, put to flight, or heard. So you need to translate this using each of those verbs. Of course, you can just write the verb form. You don't have to write the whole sentence all over. So the answer is, in silvas venerunt, ne pellerentur. That's the first one. You're going to use the imperfect subjunctive in all of these. Viderentur. Superarentur, vincerentur, terrarentur, tenerentur, in fugam darentur, audirentur. So we're using the imperfect tense in the subjunctive in a negative purpose clause after a secondary tense for the main verb. So we're in secondary tense, we're using the imperfect to denote same time action or subsequent action, I should say. Moving on to exercise 325, I have no real comment to make on this, except, of course, as I pointed out before, when you're called on to diagram, you can find all the different ways of diagramming Latin sentences in the grammar book, numbers 1005 through 1017. Otherwise, I'll let you on your own for this exercise. And for exercise 326, this should be pretty straightforward. These are all hortatory subjunctives or subjunctives of wish. The only difference is you're going to be using, I believe in every case, you're going to be using the passive subjunctive. So you need to refer to page 300 for the basic concept here, and then to the grammar book, numbers 511 and 518. Also, you may recall that utinam is never used in hortatory subjunctives, but it may be used in subjunctives of wish. Your answer key does not expect you ever to use utinam in this exercise, so you can kind of dispense with that if you'd like. But I don't think this will present too much of a challenge. Exercise 327 is also pretty straightforward. And apparently you get to skip exercise 328. Moving on to the next section, the perfect system of the passive subjunctive. Let's read what we find on page 317. The perfect tenses of the passive subjunctive of all Latin verbs, regular and irregular, are formed in the same way. They are compound tenses, just as in the indicative. To form these tenses, you, one, find the perfect participle passive, that's the fourth principal part of a regular verb, and you add, as a separate word, the proper form of the verb sum. So let's have a look in the grammar book. This is right on the next page from what you were just looking at, numbers 275 through 282. This is very similar to the forming of the perfect and pluperfect indicative, in that you have a two-part form. You start with the fourth principal part, and in this case, for the perfect subjunctive, you're going to use the present tense of the verb to be in the subjunctive as your second component. So laudatus sim, laudatus sis, laudatus sit, laudati simus, laudati sitis, laudati sint. The only tricky part here, of course, is that the participle has to agree with in gender, case, and number with the subject of the sentence. That's why you have the forms in the singular. You have laudatus, laudata, laudatum. You have to choose the correct one, whichever one modifies the subject. And in the plural, you have laudati, laudate, laudata. And, of course, you have to choose whichever one correctly modifies the gender of the subject. The rest of these all work like that in the perfect subjunctive, going across the page, 277, 278, 279. And then for the pluperfect subjunctive, going across the bottom of these pages, you're going to take the same participle, but you're going to add the imperfect subjunctive of the verb to be as your second component. Laudatus essem, esses, esset. And then in the plural, laudati essemus, essetis, essent. Same rule applies. You have to choose the form of the participle that modifies the subject. Masculine, feminine, or neuter, singular, or plural. Going back to the textbook, you are also instructed to review indirect questions in the grammar book numbers 660 through 662, and it's also found in this textbook, the Latin 1 book, on pages 281 and 286. Of course, look over the vocabulary. I hope that you're continuing to do a cumulative review of vocabulary as we go along. That's a very important part of learning any language, is the cumulative aspect. You have to keep practicing and keep practicing. On the next page, exercise 329, we're going to be translating and explaining the tenses and the subordinate clauses. All I have to say about this is, when they say explain the tenses, what they mean are in terms of sequence of tense. What is the explanation for the tense of the verb in the subordinate clause? You get to, on exercise 330, of course you can do this one orally. I have nothing really to say about that, or about 331. I think you'll find these pretty straightforward. Going on to ablative of cause on page 319, we have seen that the cause or reason may be expressed in Latin in various ways. You can use propter, which is a preposition. They were terrified on account of the arrival of Caesar, could be expressed propter adventum Caesaris terreti sunt. Or you can use quod and say they were terrified because Caesar had arrived. Terreti sunt quod Caesar advenerat. Or, on the next page, you could use the postpositive conjunctions nam or enim. They were terrified for Caesar had arrived. Terreti sunt nam Caesar advenerat. But now we're going to find a fourth way of doing this. The ablative without a preposition may be used to express the cause or reason, and this is called the ablative of cause. So they were terrified at the arrival of Caesar, or because of, or on account of, or by the arrival of Caesar, can be expressed by saying, adventu Caesaris terti sunt. Before we look at the grammar book, let's look at the note. The ablative of cause is frequently merely a special variety of the ablative of means. It is therefore sometimes very difficult to distinguish between these two types of ablatives. Sometimes the difference is really not that important to the translation itself, but you need to recognize the times when the ablative could be classified as an ablative of cause. Let's look at number 781 in the grammar book. The ablative of cause is sometimes used to express the cause or reason. For instance, Victoria gaudet. He rejoices in his victory, because of his victory, on account of his victory. Spe delector. I take delight in hope. Now the first type is, I would call that a pure ablative of cause. There's not really any other way to take that. The second one, you could think of it either as an ablative of cause or just an ablative of means. Literally, delector is in the passive, I am delighted. You could translate this literally as, I am delighted by hope, taking it as sort of an ablative of means, that by which you are delighted. Or you could take it as an ablative of cause. I am delighted because of hope. I take delight because of hope. So some you'll find that are really what I would call pure ablatives of cause, and some of them could be taken either way, really. Let's look at the exercises that they give you. Exercise 332, number 1. Let's have a look at this. All the italicized ablatives may be classified as ablatives of cause. So number 1, sociorum victoriis sublati sunt. Literally, they were raised up by the victories of the allies. This is certainly could be taken as an ablative of cause. You could also think of it as an ablative of means, sort of by means of the victories of the allies. They were raised up, or they were cheered up. This is a Latin idiom meaning they were cheered up. Looking at exercise 333, all the italicized expressions are to be translated by the ablative of cause. Well, you're going to go the other way, translating into Latin. This time, what they mean by that, by the instructions, are they don't want you to use propter or quod or nam or any of those other ways. You have to do these with the ablative of cause. So number 1, they were violently disturbed on account of the slaughter of the leading men. So on account of the slaughter, you want to take that as cede, C-A-E-D-E, on account of the slaughter of the leading men, principum, of the leading men. So just be careful to do that and don't fall into what may seem a more easy, an easier way to do it, using a propter or quod or something like that. Moving on to exercise 334. That's a big one, but I have no real comment on that. I think you can do this just fine. Likewise, exercise 335. I would suggest, however, when you run across something that you need to look up, that you need to review, you haven't seen it for a while, instead of flipping back through the book trying to look for these things, unless you know where they are just off the top of your head, you can go to the index in the grammar book and look it up, and you'll often find a satisfactory explanation in the grammar book. I'd also like to point out, for number 3 in exercise 335, they are throwing a new term at you here without having explained it. It says, give the rule for the volative subjunctive. Volative subjunctive is just another way of saying subjunctive of wish. I don't believe they explained this anywhere, but that's what it means, the subjunctive of wish. And I think they're going to keep using that term off and on. So make sure you understand what they mean there. Then, of course, you have to do the reading, number 25, orally. Next, we're going to get ready for the test. You need to review the past 3 lessons in Unit 8. And I, as usual, when you're going to take a test where you cannot retake it, I'm going to give you some hints for how to study for it. The first thing I would do is look at exercise 335, the last one that you did there. This is an excellent guide, for the most part, for studying for this test. This covers all the highlights. I would also add a few things to this. You need to review how to translate the subjunctive of wish and the hortatory subjunctive into English. You know, what's the usual formula for translating those into English? You need to be familiar with that. You need to also review how to form all passive subjunctive forms. You need to review the ways to express cause in Latin, all the different ways that we just went over in this lesson. You need to review the three types of purpose clauses, the regular purpose clause, the relative clause of purpose, and the one that uses quo when you have a comparative adverb or adjective. So make sure you know all three types of purpose clauses. You need to review sequence of tense. You need to review direct questions. You need to review impersonal verbs. And also review your vocabulary, including the principal parts of verbs, because you will be called on to not only define certain words, but also give principal parts of certain verbs. So make sure you study very, very well. As the lesson plans tell you, you can, if you wish, take the test on paper just to see what it's like, and then take the one online. It is recommended for your own sake that you take the one online because it's actually easier, but you will not be allowed to retake that test. So study very hard, pray very hard, and I wish you the best of luck on this test. And I will talk to you again next week in week 4, when we will be starting off with the Tantum Ergo as our prayer. God bless you.